social networking sites are really interesting in the way that they allow teens to communicate through content. So really, teens are becoming very fluent in this practice of connecting through multiple media channels.
This is PodTech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I have a topic that will be really fun to get into because I haven't covered it at all on any of the shows I've done to date, and that's all about marketing to teens as a target audience. I had a lot of marketing professionals contact me and say, hey, given the focus of what's happening today, teens are really a major market for a lot of people that listen to the Marketing Voices. So I have Mary Madden from Pew Internet Research, which is literally the authoritative source in the virtual world on teens, in my opinion, of all the reading I've done. And she's a senior research specialist with Pew. So Mary, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer.
So I will just jump right into it. So give the listeners some sense of what the general stats are of teens using social media today.
Sure. Well, looking overall just at the sort of teen internet user population, 93% of teens in the U.S. are online. And that compares to 73% of all adults in the U.S. So there's a big difference just between teenagers and adults, and even within the teenage population. As you look at younger teens, for instance, those ages 12 to 14 versus those ages 15 to 17, you see increased usage as they get closer to their college years. Now, among teens that are online, most of them are going online daily. And 55% of them are using social networking sites. So this is a hugely popular application among teenagers. And in many ways, social networking sites are the point of departure for everything that a teenager does online.
So now, does it break out on a sexual basis that girls use it more than boys, given that girls many times are more communicative socially than guys are? That's, again, my bias, obviously.
Yes, girls are certainly more intensive users of social networking applications, and that's something that we saw initially with instant messaging. We also saw that again with blogging, and it's also true with social networking sites. For the most part, one interesting finding that we saw in our most recent study is that in many instances, teens are using the sites to connect with the friends they already know. So the actual sort of networking features on the site are not being utilized to quite the extent that some may think. In some cases, you, of course, hear about teens who have, 300 friends on MySpace. But the number of friends that they actually communicate with on a regular basis tends to reflect the number of friends that they have in their offline life as well.
So give me some sense of the main uses on MySpace, Facebook. I mean, what are they really doing there? I know a lot of people are very paranoid for their teens to actually be on those sites, but I think it's somewhat that they just don't understand how they're really using it. So can you delve into that a bit?
Well, teenagers are, as I said, primarily using the sites to keep in touch with the friends that they see on a regular basis. In terms of the sort of specific applications within the site, 84% of them post messages on friends' walls or pages. That's kind of a way to post a public message. Then there's also another channel in many social networking sites to send a private message, a sort of internal email, and 82% of teens that use social networking sites say they do that. Also, blogging is popular on the sites. Teens are more likely to say they post comments to friends' blogs than to actually blog themselves. But nevertheless, blogs are very popular. So kind of that idea of having a daily journal and a way to update your friends on a daily basis. Also, you know, just sharing all kinds of content, posting photos, videos, songs. Social networking sites are really interesting in the way that they allow teens to communicate through content. So really, teens are becoming very fluent in this practice of connecting through multiple media channels. So they're not just using text. They're not just using images. They're also using, you know, streaming video. They're posting songs to their pages to express a certain mood that they're in on a particular day. So these sites are very dynamic in that sense.
So have you seen a trend over the last, say, couple of years more towards the blogging and more towards, in a sense, more complicated, applications?
Yes, we have seen a pretty interesting sort of arc building over time. And in part, that stems simply from the way the applications have evolved and emerged. But something that was very interesting that we saw in our first study in 2000 was that teens were starting to really embrace this idea of maintaining a persistent presence online. And we saw that initially with instant messaging use. Teens were doing things like posting away messages just so that their friends would know where they are. And teenagers would tell us, you know, sometimes I log into my instant messaging client just to kind of see who's there. And I know my friend's okay if I see that he or she is online. If they aren't online, I might pick up the phone and call them because, I'm so used to them being online on a daily basis. So it became sort of a way to monitor your social network, to send messages or bulletins to your network in an instantaneous way. And it really started to displace the use of email. In that first study, we heard from a lot of teens saying, you know, email is something that you use to communicate with old people, essentially. You use it to, you know, send messages to your teachers, to your parents, and kind of any sort of institutional communication. But when it comes to talking to your friends, they're going to be on IM, and you know you can reach them immediately that way, or you can, of course, use your cell phone. Then in the next study, we saw kind of movement, not necessarily away from instant messaging, but towards also incorporating blogging. And so blogs were really a big part of the last study because at that time we were hearing from teens that, you know, blogs were a way that they could incorporate all kinds of different media, again, you know, photos and video, and start sort of posting messages on a serial basis. Then, in this most recent study, we of course see that social networking is the centerpiece of teenage life online, and in many ways, social networking sites are sort of the killer app that, you know, merges some of the same functions of instant messaging and blogging all in one place. And so, in many senses, it's just a more efficient way to kind of organize and manage one's social life.
Okay, so, you know, I have two teenage boys, and I'm sitting here listening to this because it is so true. They are always on IM. They definitely see email as the old folks' way to communicate. But, you know, in terms of blogging, they really poo-poo the idea that guys blog. And now they're 15 and 17, and so they would really push back and say it's mainly girls that do it because girls will take the time to actually post their stuff. Now, did you find that that's true, that it's that the guys are blogging just as much as the girls?
It is true that girls are more likely to blog. So guys are not blogging as often as girls are. That said, it's not as though they're not blogging at all, and they're definitely interested in reading the blogs.
So right.
I think, while girls might be the ones providing more of the content, boys are definitely interested readers. And, we see some interesting differences also in terms of sort of photos versus video, some interesting gender differences there that are going to be discussed in our forthcoming report, which we released a short report at the beginning of this year that was kind of an overview on teenagers' use of social networking sites. But we're currently working on sort of this omnibus report that will be released next month, and a lot of interesting gender differences there that relate to questions around social networking use and privacy, attitudes towards privacy on the sites. So stay tuned for that.
Well, that is great. I would love to have Marketing Voices launch that with you, because I think that it's really key. Because ultimately, as I've argued with a lot of people, I think what I see is a lot of fear in sort of the older generation marketers adopting social media. And that's what this show is all about, is just talking about how it's adopted. But it really is amazing to me, as I talk to people in their early 20s and even sort of mid-20s, I mean, the fear is just not as prevalent. And so ultimately, my belief is that by the time these teenagers are in the work world in another 5 years, all this social media marketing fear will pretty much have subsided. And because they will have used it so much, I mean, 93% that you mentioned at the very top of the podcast in terms of all teams that are online is a phenomenal number. And you just think about how that will just grow over the years. So switching gears here, what about phones and text messaging? You haven't really gotten into that much. I mean, how prevalent is that? I have to say, again, with my kids, that's really how they communicate mainly, is through text.
Text messaging is certainly growing in popularity. We're not quite at the same level yet as, you know, certainly some European and Asian countries in our text messaging use, in part because of the cost. And so we haven't been as quick in the U.S. to promote plans where text messaging, for instance, is cheaper than placing a call, which is the case in many other countries. However, it certainly is growing in popularity, and we see a lot more sort of convergence of mobile applications and web applications, such that, you know, you can do things now like query Google from your cell phone. You know, applications like Dodgeball, which are social networking applications that are based on your cell phone, and being able to actually determine when friends in your network are physically close to you so that you can go and hang out with them. So for all of these sort of newer applications, I think we're seeing sort of more motivation to engage with wireless computing via the cell phone, just more opportunities for that.
So what about privacy? You hinted at that a couple of seconds ago in terms of attitudes towards privacy. How does that kind of factor out on, and again, a gender basis?
Yeah, that is something, again, that we're saving for our Big Bang report. However, I will say that something that we looked at in that first sort of overview report that I mentioned that came out in January was the extent to which teenagers were restricting access to their profiles. So, you know, on social networking sites, you have the ability to say, you know, my profile can be completely public, or it can be viewable to friends. In some cases, you can designate different groups of friends or family and friends. And that gives you some control over, you know, who can then view, obviously, the content that you post on your profile. Some of the newer applications even allow you to go down to the level of sort of restricting access to just even individual files that you post. So this photo I want my friends to be able to view, but not my blog posting, or vice versa. With sort of privacy restrictions, we see that most teens do restrict access to their profile in some way. And so I think that that is an interesting sort of sign that teens are aware of some of these concerns. We certainly picked up on that in our focus groups. But the sort of big glaring sort of exception to that is that, you know, teenagers don't always exercise the same discretion in determining who their friends will be. So they might be restricting access to only friends, but they may have sort of, you know, friended people who they wouldn't necessarily friend in their offline life. So that's a question, this sort of issue of how teens friend other people online, that's being looked at by some really interesting researchers, for instance, out in California researcher named Dana Boyd looks a lot at that process of friending.
Interesting. Well, Mary, I really thank you. This has been very interesting. It's the first time, as I said, that I've really delved into the teen market, but I think we'll probably do a lot more on Marketing Voices on teens and sort of segmenting out audiences. So before I close the podcast, is there a way that people can get the research from you, ordered online or contact you directly?
Absolutely. All of our research is completely free and available on our website. So we are completely impartial, nonprofit research organization fully funded by the Pew Charitable Trusts. And our website is www.pewinternet.org.
Great. Well, Mary, thank you very much for being on Marketing Voices. I've been speaking with Mary Madden, who's a senior research specialist at Pew Internet Research. Thank you to all my listeners, and until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.